The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
If you're building, or buying, or selling a home, the Real Estate Crew's got news for you at the Real Estate House Party.
With attorney Rick Carter.
The Real Estate House Party.
Paralegal Kathy Holsthausen.
The Real Estate House Party. Come in, have fun.
And comedian Tony V. Now, here's real estate attorney Rick Carter.
Welcome and thanks for joining us here on the Real Estate House Party. Before the levity starts going, I'm going to introduce John Tanullo, too, from the John and Michelle.
Sounds like you're on.
I know.
Rick Carter on steroids.
I know, I'm on steroids. You hear, am I sounding loud? Am I usually this loud?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back.
We got a lot to talk
when
about.
When is John. Michelle coming on?
Whenever you guys want.
All right.
Yeah.
She's been on once, right?
I don't know.
She has.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's been on our show or our radio show.
I don't know.
We've been such celebrities in the network broadcasting.
We've been all over.
I could barely get in here today.
I could barely get in. I was so busy.
Yes.
I was.
And look who's back.
I'm back.
Yeah. Finally.
It seems like it's been forever.
I know. It has been.
I guess so. Yeah.
We're kind of missing you, dude.
I kept texting Tony. Yes. And thinking, maybe Tony be in today because I'm on some palapa right now.
I was in Aruba.
You were in Aruba?
Yeah. With, yes.
Really? First time?
First time there.
this year?
Yeah. I was there in December.
Who was doing the show with you?
We had good shows. Me, Dan Natterman, guy from New York, and Brian Scott McFadden. It was a week. And then the week before that, there was a young woman from New York in, and me and Mike Vecchione was very funny.
Okay.
Yeah. We had
no
great
Christine
shows.
Hurley?
No, we were not. We haven't been together in about a year and a half or two there.
Aww.
Too much. It's too much of us. It's too much.
too much show for one show.
Yeah, too much
show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's great. Aruba Ray Ellen, he has a permanent comedy club in the Eagle Aruba, which is about mid-island. Right next.
Was it used to be the Holiday Inn, or
no? We were at the Holiday. He's been several places, but when I hooked up with him, we were at the Marriott.
Yep.
At the Stellaris, and then we went to the Holiday Inn for a couple of years, and now he's got a permanent home down at the Eagle Aruba. It's a dedicated room, and it's great. A
lot of restrictions so for him, though, right?
Well, you have to wear pants.
I have to wear pants for the time of the show.
The whole show.
The show. Yeah.
Or is it most of the show? Or
no, I mean, for the time I'm on stage, but it's not like I'm changing pants in the back of the room.
Right.
I put on pants, but then immediately after the show, the pants come right off.
Yeah, your costumes aren't probably the big part of the show. It's not like
people aren't coming for my fashion sense.
Good.
What shirt?
Hey.
What shirt?
Well,
I haven't seen him in a month.
I know.
It's funny. Nice. One night I had a... I think it was the shirt I wore at Fenway's.
Oh yeah, you look so handsome.
Yeah,
with the off collar.
Yeah. Was it pink?
There's this thing. Someone in the audience got dumped on for wearing a pink shirt, and they go, "Tony's wearing a pink shirt." I go, "It's salmon."
Salmon.
It's salmon.
They can get confusing.
They can get a little confusing.
Yeah, but who?
And
would
I
really?
Go, besides,
this is like salmon.
Yeah, it's like that. A little bit more neon-y, but it's the same temperament. And I go, besides, I'm a performer. I get to let my freak flag fly.
Yeah. Just like Barry Manilow.
Yeah. So the show's it's mostly New England and people down there.
Really?
It's like at Giggles.
You're right. I was just going to say, it's like a Giggles show, but in Aruba.
But it's safer to get to.
It's easier to get to.
Then
I got to walk about 50 yards.
It's probably easier to get out of the restaurant, too, right?
Yeah, right.
Without people colliding.
Sure.
And
They got a fine dumpster for smoking.
Good.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, good.
Yep. Although Giggles does have one of the best dumpsters
around. That's the charm of it.
That's the
first dumpster. That's the dumpster that all dumpsters are measured against.
Yeah. It's almost like Johnny Carson's couch. That if you're invited back out to the dumpster, you must be doing well.
You're a special breed.
But you guys didn't even want to go to the couch, right? Because I heard from somebody else that he was a little bit of a... curmudgeon.
Did you ever meet Johnny Carson?
No.
Lenny Clark told us he doesn't like him at all.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
I mean, other than...
He's just mad he didn't get invited to the Cubs.
I did get to sign my name on his childhood home.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Nebraska?
It's Nebraska. Norfolk, Nebraska.
Wow.
And they did... they used to have a comedy festival out there called the Great American Comedy Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did it 2 years in a row. And part of the tour is you get to see Johnny Carson's house.
Yeah. There's no.
You get to sign the wall.
There's no corn on that tour, is there? There's not much corn in the
Oh, those people love their corn.
I was just thinking about
it. Oh, my God. I couldn't hear more. They took us to a farm. You know,
Were there chickens?
When you're a bunch of
comedians.
Don't
make me bring it up.
When you're a bunch of comedians.
You're tempting me.
In a Midwestern town. You know, these people are real corn-fed people. They're salt of the earth.
So you had to dumb it down
people.
For them? Or?
Well, no, but they treat you like you're a special needs camp. You know what I mean? Keep them all together and keep them occupied.
We'll take
them bowling. We'll take them to a farm. You know, they'll see how a farm. They pick you up. You have a host family, so you don't, you know.
You never can be left alone.
So you're not mixing with the women folk. You know.
If you ever bred with any of them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And one of those storms came through. So, you know,
like a tornado.
Yeah. And, you know, they didn't think anything of it. And things are shaking and I'm freaking out. And they go, no, it's fine.
Oh, wow.
And then it's such a thing that the airport's 2 hours away. And the day I was leaving, the mayor of the town gave me a ride to the airport.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was that just to make sure you got out of there?
I think they wanted me out. Yeah.
It's like Schitt's Creek.
Exactly.
It was great.
Yeah.
The big attraction besides the comedy festival when I was there, they were building a wind turbine somewhere, and they blocked off all the roads so that,
that must have been a big
they
event.
Could bring the blades, which are huge.
Yeah.
It was like a parade. People lining the streets.
That is kind of cool,
I go, wow, this isn't Boston at all, is it? Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was fun. But, yeah, it was Eddie Brill used to run it, and it was a great time.
I've never been to it.
Yeah, and Johnny Carson Museum shares a building with the Farm and Agriculture Museum. So half of it's Johnny Carson and half of it's tractors. Yeah, it's great.
I wonder if there's a correlation.
I don't know.
What, do they run out of land out there?
They must. I don't know. I think they ran out of buildings.
You know, there's not that many
They couldn't
big
figure
buildings.
Out how to make a building, right?
I remember saying, you know, we're talking to somebody and they go, this must be different for you. I go, yeah. I mean, I go, and this solidifies why the country's divided. Our needs are completely different.
I go,
I'm never going to need, I'm never going to need a tractor. And you people wouldn't know an elevator if you saw one. You know, so it's not going to,
And we get our corn at a store.
Yeah, right.
I thought that's where it was made and stuff.
Right. That's what Rick
manufactured.
Bigger than the back.
Yeah. I thought it was in the back, and they just.
So anyway, it's good to be home.
We're happy to have you back.
Really
happy to have you back.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
John Tanullo's.
We got a lot to get on.
We're
like a boat without an oar.
I was ready for this topic too, by the way.
Oh yeah.
You were not.
The NAR settlement.
Right. So just coming in, I'm in the industry and it's just so mind baffling to me, like what's going on.
Right.
And
it's the National Association of Realtors.
Right.
And they've decided what?
To decouple.
To decouple.
Yes.
Yeah. From whom?
Commissions.
Correct.
Well, who are they? They're decoupling, meaning splitting the two different agencies.
Well, this is coming from the DOJ wanted it to be decoupled.
Completely?
Meaning that, essentially what the DOJ wants is that the buyer's agent pay their own buyers and the seller's agent pays their own sellers. So that's kind of what the direction it's somewhat going.
Right.
So there's not like one pot that everybody splits now. It's every man for the every person for themselves.
This is where it started.
What's happening now, and then how this is going to impact.
All right. So what happens now is
No. Right now.
Right now, before this, you would a seller would list with John Tanula of the Tanula Real Estate team.
Great people.
And right at the top of the list.
And then as part of their function of marketing, they're a part of multiple listing service.
Correct.
And in multiple listing service, John would put in, all right, a commission is going to be owed, will be given to a buyer.
Buyer's agent. Yes, we would offer a percentage of our fee to buyer's agents.
To bring a buyer.
To attract buyers.
Yeah.
So now they're saying, oh, no, we don't want you doing that.
Well, part of the settlement was for, so a couple things, and that's one of the big takeaways is that they don't want sellers to offer compensation in MLS. That doesn't mean they can't offer compensation.
Right.
You just can't say it.
Oh. Well, they don't want it in...
It can't be in MLS.
Part of the settlement was that they don't want it in MLS, number one.
And tell everybody what MLS is, just so that we can...
So the multiple listing service is where the agents, essentially where we...
Advertise, basically, right?
Yes, and then from the MLS, that feeds all the third-party websites like Zillow and...
Right. So the MLS is almost like an advertising venue... To other agents, not to the public.
Well, it's to both. I mean, the public sees it.
How do they get? Don't they have to have a membership to MLS?
Well, now it goes to all these third parties.
It goes to all these third party websites.
Okay.
So when most people are searching, you know, if they just Google houses for sale in their town,
right?
The MLS will come up.
Yeah. So for example, whatever real estate franchise that you look at, you'll see all the listings that are on MLS. Unlike other industries, so if we list a home on MLS, our competition is there, so they can see pretty much anything that's listed there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it may not be exactly everything on the market if someone chooses they want to sell privately.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So you're not required to list on MLS?
Technically, no. But it's in the seller's best interest to list on MLS.
Right. Because that's where everybody looks.
Right.
That's where they'll get the exposure.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
We expect in July or this July.
That's when this new thing is going into effect.
That sellers won't be able to put in a compensation for buyer's agents.
And right. The buyer's agent is the agent that brings buyers to open house or brings them to you so that they can do a private showing or whatnot. They're basically the avenue to get them the house that they want.
Correct. And so, you know, as agents, what we were being accused of is, you know, we're being accused of staring people, you know, and saying, hey, if that listing isn't offering a decent, you know, commission compensation, we wouldn't show our buyers that property.
I see.
Which is... In every field, there's bad apples, and they came up with found people that have, unfortunately, that have done that.
Right.
You know, but these days, everything's online.
Right.
Everything's online. You know, so
right. If you do your due diligence,
buyers are finding properties at the same time, literally, that we are.
Right.
So for our buyers, it's like if they want to see a house, it's not. We're not saying, oh, you don't want to see that one because we're not getting. You know, it's
right. Right, so, you got to deal
well, that's,
with
that's, that. That goes against their code of ethics, though,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
the code of ethics, not every single real estate agent subscribes to NAR, and so not every real estate agent is a realtor.
I see.
So there is when you're joining the NAR association, the realtor association, you're basically pledging to be.
But I think it's more than in there. When they get their license, like they have the duties, how to represent.
A lot of that is if they join NAR, which there's a lot of brokerages out there that require their agents to be part of NAR because of the ethics. But legally, you do not have
to. You don't have to.
No.
There's nothing says that you need to belong to NAR.
That's correct.
So there's a lot of misconceptions coming out.
There's a ton.
Well, here's the first question. Who got pissed off? Why did they?
That's a good question.
Why did they need the government to? Because anytime government gets involved in anything, it's going to get muddled.
So, and this is my personal opinion.
Good.
So
that's what we're here about.
Yeah.
NAR is is the largest lobbying group in the country. Right. I mean, they're huge.
Bigger than the NRA.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. So they're
NRA, isn't that funny?
That is very funny.
So it's huge. And there's, you know, in Massachusetts, I can tell you that, and here's the thing, in every state, there's different laws and different contracts. In Massachusetts, our agreements will state, hey, here's the commission that we're charging, here's the fee, and out of that total fee, if you decide to offer a buyer's agent compensation, this is what that...
This is how much it is?
Yes.
Or what percentage it is?
So there were a couple of sellers.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second because that's what I do best.
Sure.
But so...
She's really good at it, too.
Yeah.
So like say...
She works on it.
For example, your seller has offered to pay you a 5% commission. And of that, maybe you're giving 2 or 3% to an agent coming to see you.
Correct.
But in essence, the seller, or in reality, in today, the seller is paying that entire 5%.
Correct.
So do they have an issue with buyer representation?
Some sellers decided that, hey, why as a seller am I paying for a buyer's agent to work against me?
I see. Okay. So the buyer's agent is trying to get the best price for the house.
Correct. Now,
and the seller is saying, why do I have to pay for that?
Now, I have some opinions on that. But, you know, on the surface, there's a part of it. Sure, it makes sense. Like, why should you? You know?
Right.
Now, on the flip side of it, it's like selling anything else, and agents may disagree with me. At the end of the day, the transaction should be a win-win for both parties.
Sure. Without a doubt.
Any buyer that comes along to buy that house, if you're in, say, the market that we're in right now, a seller's market, sellers are ecstatic when they accept an offer. You know, if someone's willing to pay $100,000 over asking and waive all the contingencies.
Sure, why shouldn't you get that 5%?
Yeah, you know, like, that's great. Now you
and
say,
that
well,
buyer's agent brought that client.
Correct. Right. Now, if you look at it in the flip side, well, what if it's a buyer's market and they're really haggling? Well, if it wasn't for that buyer, that house may not sell at all. You know, so there's certainly value, I believe, in offering.
So there's my one of my first misconceptions. People saying, "Oh, this is great. We don't need a buyer's agent now."
Oh,
well, that's
right.
That's a whole other thing. So, like, do you need a buyer's agent?
Of course,
yes, you do.
At the end of the day, you don't need a buyer's agent.
But it's like anything you're negotiating.
Yes,
you want someone on your side.
You don't need a seller's attorney. You don't need a buyer's attorney.
That's exactly it.
So you don't need to have that.
It's like when we tell our sellers, like, hey, maybe you should paint the kitchen. Sure, they can do it on their own.
You don't need to do it.
They may not need to hire someone, but can they do it on their own?
Right.
Do they know how to, you know?
Right.
And the thing is, when it comes to buying a house, you know, as an industry, it's tough because if you look at social media, our industry, we make things look so easy, like, hey, just sold this, and hey, look how, you know, because we don't show all the work that goes into it.
Right.
You know, and all the problems that come up.
Right, I mean, you just see the results.
Yeah, and part of it is it's such an emotional process that we don't want to add fuel to the fire. So when there's problems that are happening behind the scenes, and Rick, you know this, like, you know, there are so many times that we're putting out fires that our clients
don't know about. Yeah, sure.
Just to keep.
Oh, they know about it, but they put it on you guys to figure it out.
Well, yeah, but you
on
know,
your client.
Plus, you that's know, so, another reason you need a buyer's agent because, you know, buyers, correct me if I'm wrong, are completely emotional about their purchase. I think the buyer's agent keeps all that logic back into the process.
Yeah. So one of the misconceptions and that I feel like that's happening in the media all the time is that it portrays that, hey, you know, our job is to basically unlock the door and show them the kitchen.
Right.
This is the kitchen. You know, like, that's really not our job.
It's not going anywhere,
you know, and in today's market, it's a matter of, like, we've had multiple offers where if we're representing buyers, like, sometimes we may, you know, tell our buyers, like, hey, you need to come in $80,000 over asking to get this house. And they're looking to us because they want to buy the house, but
And if they don't have a buyer's agent.
Yeah, but on another house.
They don't know.
On another house, maybe they can come in at asking price.
And in another house, you might say, don't come in $80,000.
Well, that's the thing. And,
because this house isn't going to appreciate like some other houses.
The value in today's market for an agent is
I think it's huge.
Is helping them actually land the house.
I'm the biggest
advocate. We're the biggest cheerleaders of
buyer's agents.
Buyer's agents
and
seller's agents.
We've done entire shows about it.
Oh, absolutely.
About how you need a buyer's agent.
And now what they're doing is basically like just – You know, like, so would you, like, so this is no, make right. your job a little or a big bit higher, harder, because now you have someone coming in, right, that doesn't have the money for a buyer's
agent?
Well,
so here's the thing. So ultimately, like, a lot of people are talking about the sellers and how it's going to reduce fees and all that stuff. Ultimately, it comes down to really a lot of, I mean, it is sellers, but it does come down to buyers, because ultimately, you know, in the past, which sometimes it doesn't make sense that you may have a buyer's agent that's been doing it for 3 weeks that gets paid the same amount of money for a buyer's agent right. that's been doing it for 30 years, you know, and you
but
would
that's
think
the same in any scenario. It could be.
In today's market, though, there very well may be, you know, the property that the buyer likes very well may be a property that a seller decides not to offer compensation. That whole is another topic, too, because then there's a question mark of, well, everything's negotiable. So at the end of the day, most sellers care about their net. So
right.
So just like a closing date or just like the offer amount, is a seller not going to be willing to pay a buyer's agent fee if they receive one offer that's at asking price, but another offer that's significantly over, even with a buyer's fee, you know, included? You know, at the end of the day,
so
most sellers...
make more money if they do have a buyer's...
Not necessarily, but they could.
But they could.
And that's part of what the DOJ wants, is the DOJ wants... they want people essentially to negotiate their fees. And they essentially believe that agents and sellers and buyers and listing agents should all negotiate their fees separately. So that's what I think we'll slowly start to see.
You know, there's a parallel here with my business where, you know, we negotiate our own fees when we do a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will undercut. You know, I get X amount for a job. And then they go, well, this guy said he'd do it for, you know, half that. I go, well, then, all right, get that guy, but you're going to get half the show.
Well, or
you're not going to get...
I'll bring my fee down, and you're going to get a third of a show.
A third of a show, right.
You're going to get all my crappy jokes.
Right.
And that's the big thing that just... because that will definitely happen.
Right.
And that's what... I believe the DOJ wants is they just want competition, which is fine.
Yeah.
We've always had competition.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, agents have to, you know, demonstrate their value,
right.
number one. But also consumers need to also realize that not all agents are doing the same thing.
Right.
And
some are going to have more value than others.
Yeah, working harder for you.
And you very well may get a discount agent that's charging too much.
Sure.
Right.
You know,
right,
because, right. you know, same right. like your field. Like if
right.
they may be half the cost, but what if they're not funny?
Yeah. Right. Well, listen, we see that all the time, and I'm sure it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You know, I used to open for bands and whatnot at, you know, the tents, Seltzer, North
Down the Cape and all that.
I had a pretty fixed rate. Then somebody else came in and they started offering less money. So they would call me for the same gig and offer less money. And I'd go, no.
Why?
No. They go, well,
are you less funny now?
Right. Yeah. I did a good job the last time. They wanted me back. And,
and that's my value.
That's my value. Right. And then they go, well, this guy's going to do it for, you know, $250. I go, okay.
Yeah.
Then go ahead. I'm not doing it for that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then you get a call. Hey, that guy was terrible. I go, yeah, I know. Yeah. He's a $250 comedian.
I always get amazed in our business where someone's buying $1.5 million, and I don't get it that much. Most people just, when I get referred, they just go with us. But they'll say, every once in a while, I get, you know, what's your fee? And I'll say the fee. And they'll say, well, this other guy is $150 less.
And you're buying a $1 million house.
I'm thinking, well, I probably have a little bit more ability. And for $150.
Right.
Or you're insulting me. Don't
eat out at dinner once
Go
this
roll
week.
Your quarters.
You know You'll what be I mean? Able to afford us.
But like, so on the basic surface of this, what I can see and what I've read is, it's taken like first-time home buyers out of the market.
That's going to be an issue. I feel like the biggest obstacle is for first-time home buyers.
Because it did no favors to a first-time home buyer, I don't think.
No, and that's quite frankly, our system that we had last year, it wasn't the perfect system. but this isn't the perfect system.
The reason it worked, had to have been something.
The reason,
you know,
the reason it worked a little better because, all right, say they had to pay $25,000 as part of it. We all know it's baked in there somehow. But on the selling price, they could finance that, right?
Correct. Well, yeah. Well, if it's included in the sales price, then.
So last year or up till July this year, it was part of the price and it really wasn't a factor. But now, if some buyer's agent, you know, or some seller says, well, no, I'm not paying any buyer agent fee. You know, I think it's now, you know, on that buyer's agent to make sure they have a form signed by the buyer that says, all right, you know, I'm still owed whatever.
Well, so part of the settlement is for now on, so which I do believe makes sense, is that buyer agreements will now be mandatory.
Without a doubt. So that's the one thing we were talking about.
Right. If we're working with the buyer, we need an agreement, which is kind of common sense anyway.
Yeah. You should have an agreement.
We've always done that. You know, plenty of people didn't.
Right.
Now, here's the flip question. Who benefits from this?
Lawsuit?
Yeah, who wins?
The attorneys.
Attorneys always win, please.
They made a third of it. Think about it. But...
So it was definitely, I do think it was definitely like a power play because, you know.
By the NAR, but by
the group of people who decided to sue.
Yeah.
You know, but supposedly it's, you know, the headlines are out there saying that all these fees are going to go down.
Yeah.
And
that's not necessarily
true. And where consumers kind of need to, or sellers need to understand, is that there's going to be a lot of agents out there that says, hey, you know, I'll list your house for a cheaper amount because you don't have to pay a buyer's agent fee. And a lot of sellers will just say, hey, that sounds great.
That sounds great.
But that doesn't prevent a buyer from coming in and trying to negotiate that. And then the seller needs to realize, again, at the same time, you know, is it more important to save
X amount of dollars
on a fee or is it more important to net the most
more
amount of
money for the house. And sure.
I'm all for saving money. Like, you know, I like to save money. You know, and I could completely understand how consumers want to save money. I mean, who wouldn't want to?
Right.
But for a seller at the end of the day, usually they want to net the most amount of money. Right. So they may be getting misinformation from other agents out there that aren't explaining to them to say, hey, at the end of the day, you may not, you know.
And I also feel like there's been some articles that are misleading.
The articles are completely.
Yeah. So I've read a couple
of
that.
House prices are going to drastically drop.
Yeah, that's so.
And
that's
so
the other
everybody
one.
Believes what they see on Facebook or believes what they read.
Or they want to believe. People have been wanting to believe that house prices are going to be coming down for years.
This isn't going to be the answer to that.
This is such a, you know, and especially in New England, like, you know, there's other parts of the country where all these homes are very similar. In New England, every single house is different. So it is so subjective going from one house to another.
Right.
You know, it's like, all right, well, this house is bigger, but it's on a busy street.
Right.
You know, so what's that price difference? Well, that's up to the market. At the end of the day, what determines the price is the market.
The market.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
You know, it's location, it's size, it's condition, it's financing options.
Someone's willing to pay for the house.
Exactly.
Right?
And then the question begs to be asked, which politician is in the pocket of these people that push this forward? Because anytime government gets involved in something, it's fucked from the
beginning. The other thing that I find somewhat disturbing or confusing is that it's going to take VA buyers out of the market and FHA buyers out of the market because the government, those are government loans, will not let the buyer
pay a
broker's commission on their side.
So it's going to be interesting to see if changes are made.
On the FHA and the VA loans.
Yeah, because they can't.
They can't compete.
If they decide to go with that loan product.
They won't be able to compete.
And so, you know,
as Kathy was saying, they're not coming to the table with a lot of money. Now all of a sudden they can't pay.
But now the VA and the FHA, the government kicks in a lot of money to those loans. Now what, right? Are they going to pay the fee?
Yeah, and so that's an issue.
The other thing is
I see a lot of issues.
There's a ton of issues.
How about the appraisal? But, I know we could go on and on. The appraisal.
Oh, shoot.
I know. Yeah.
We'll have to do this again.
I have burning questions. I'll save it for the next show.
Can you come back, John?
I can come back.
You sure?
Oh, my goodness.
I have burning questions.
Ooh, we got a lot of stuff to follow up on.
It's not the only thing on me burning, but I do have burning questions.
I got to go.
Where did you meet Dr. Ruba?
What did you need?
I know. We got a lot of questions, John Tinoli. Wow. You got to come back. And we'll get this all figured out. Thanks for joining us here. What's that?
That's the most content.
I know. I'm exhausted.
Because I'm back to keep us on
track. Tony might go back to Aruba. Thanks for joining us here on the Real Estate House Party. I'm hoping the four of us can get back together again next week. All right?
You have a different hat.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.